The building on Memches on the Bay's six lines from the bottom. Right, we're in the middle of discussing how we know the Mishnah had said that Kodshe Kodshim, specifically was Kodshe Kodshim in general, specifically Chatois, have to be shechted in the north and the Kabbalah in the north. So the Gemara says, Ashka from Shechita Ba'olah Mitzvah. So far we found that there's a mitzvah that the Olah should be shechted in the north. And we found the Kabbalah Nami L'mitzvah Ashkechan, and we found when it comes to an Ola, when it comes to a Chatos, we brought various Tzukim that show that it's not just L'mitzvah, it's L'Akim. But let's go back to an Ola. We find that L'Hatchila, it has to be done in the north, because the Shachar Chayisal Yerachim is Be'er Tzafonis. And we said that applies not only to a sheep, but also to a bull, because of the Vav that begins V'im Minatzoin. The Kabbalah Nami L'mitzvah Ashkechan, we find by an Ola where there's a mitzvah that the Kabbalah should be done on the Tzofim side. So where is that? Rashi says because in the Braisa that we quoted earlier on the Amud, that the Shulchan doesn't have to be in the north, but the Mekabel has to be in the north. Post first, and Shittim Kabbetzes, and a number of other Mephoshim are bothered by the fact that Pesach is in connection with the Chatos, and here we're trying to figure out how we know that it's a mitzvah by an Ola. So one point is since the Pesach says b'mkoymashet ishachat ha'olah ishachat ha'chatos, in the place where the olah is shechted, the chatos is shechted, that means that everything as much as possible should be the same between them, and therefore if we've established that a chatos has to be shechted and the Kabbalah has to be in the north, then that's reason enough that we can say at least that at least by an Olo should be the mitzvah hatchila. But shechit of a Kabbalah la'akid l'nolan. But how do we know that they're ma'akid by an Olo? Amar Adav Avavi, Temer Adav Ashila, Kavachomer. At this point, we can use a Kavachomer. Ma'chatas abal mitoyach Olo, a chatas which is more lenient than an Olo because not completely burnt on the mizbeah. And it comes from the strength of an Ola, because by a Chatas, it says it should be shechted in the place where the Ola was, and not Kebes. And we're saying by a Chatas, it's Ma'akiv, as the Gemara had brought all the Joshes so far, Ola, Shabbat, Chatas, and Kotha. So then the Ola, which is more stringent, so no, we're not saying that the Chatas is less stringent, so it's not completely burnt, we're just saying, because where does it say the concept itself? And it says by the Ola. And from it, we learn to the Chatas. So therefore, the Ola is considered more chomer in the sense that there the Torah actually spells it in, whereas by the Chatas it doesn't. But if we're saying, based on the Lemudim that we learned before, that by Chatas it's Ma'akiv, ain't a din, it's Ola, Shabba Chatas Mikocha, then an Ola, where the Chatas comes because of it, it's because of the Ola, that it's because by the Ola, that Torah says it's softened by the Ola, and then it says where the Ola is shechted, that Chatas should be shechted, ain't a din, Shemakev, it shouldn't be a Halachoma, that it should be Ma'akiv to do it in soft. But the Gemara asks, Malachatas, you can compare it to a private crisis. Yes, but how can you compare? A chatas brings kapara for people who are chayiv karis. So therefore you could say that that's why it's ma'akim. Ravina says, the Gemara had thought that we meant halachomer as in an ola is more chomer in that it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. But we're saying, on the other hand, a chatas has the feature of being the fatal for creep from the things that are high as parties. No, Ravina says, ha kashala, that of Adaba Abba, this is what of Adaba Abba was asking, do we ever find that the tofel, the secondary thing, should be more important than the ikr? If the ikr, it says by ola, has to be in suffering, then it's not logical that the chatas, which is a tofel, because we learn it from ola, that it shouldn't be, then that so if by the chatas it's not active, all the more so by the ikr, by the ola itself, it should also be mad. So, you're telling me that no, you're telling me you never find the tofel stronger than the ikr. Vare Meister, consider the case of Meister Sheni. Dehun Nifter, it can be redeemed. The evil of Kuach, the test of Meister, ain't a Nifter. Whereas with Boah, with Meister Sheni, money cannot be redeemed. Rashi is what we're talking about in Yerushalayim. So like this, you're supposed to bring your Meister Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, and you eat it over there. If you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, then you exchange it for money and bring it to Yerushalayim. Once it's in Yerushalayim, though, once the Meister Sheni produce is in Yerushalayim, you have to eat it over there. You can't sell it unless... If it becomes Tomei, then Rashi brings from the Gemara and Bava Metzia that then you are allowed to be poured there even in Yerushalayim. On the other hand, if you bought food with Meiser Sheni money, then you would not be able to be poured there. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos gives a long discussion over here that maybe it means that, or maybe it means... Or maybe it means actually even the original food itself can be nifta, but not the not if you exchange it for money and then you exchange the money for other fruit. Where you have machlokas or Yehuda and the Chachamim over here. So the so depending according to Rashi, the question is going to be according to Yehuda's opinion, and according to one possibility that Tosfos brings up, the question may be from the Chachamim's opinion. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah halakuch bekesef ma'aser shenitma. If food was bought with ma'aser sheni money and then it became tameh, yipodeh, you can redeem it. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, you cover. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be buried because you can't be poyeh. Nitma ein lo nitma loy. So only if it became tameh, then you only if it became tameh. Then you can't be poyed yet. But if it was not Tommy, then not. Now these words are in parenthesis. Rashi doesn't have them. Tosfos discusses whether maybe we should have them. Again, that'll depend on the question of whether we're talking about where it became Tommy in Yerushalayim or whether we're talking about a case where it's outside Yerushalayim. So according to Rashi, the question is from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where Rabbi Yehuda certainly says that Ma'aser Sheni can be redeemed for money. It clearly says that in the pasuk. But here we're talking about where money, food was bought with Ma'aser Sheni money, and then it became tamei. And Rabbi Yehuda says you have to bury it because it's also bahana. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tuffle, what came secondary, what was bought with Ma'aser Sheni money, is stronger than the ikur, the original Ma'aser Sheni produce. According to Tosfos, the question is more from the Chachamim's opinion. Where they're saying that they're saying that you're able to be that you're able to be poyeh, but only if it became tamei. So you see that where it became tamei, but if it's not tamei, then you can't redeem it. What you bought with ma'aser sheni money, even outside your shrine, even though the ma'aser sheni itself could have been, even though the ma'aser sheni itself could be redeemed outside your shrine. So then the question would be, according to the Chachamim, that you see that tofel is chomer min ha'ikar, the original produce you can redeem for money, but the what you bought with it cannot unless it becomes tamei. So there you see that tofel chomer min ha'ikar. So what is Ravina telling us that it can't? And the answer is the fact that it's tofel chomer min ha'ikar. Possum by alimah kusha se lemitas kidyonim. The answer is that what it is the kedusha of the secondary produce is not strong enough to completely grab onto the pidyon. So therefore, so in other words, in order for pidyon to work, you have to have a high level of kedusha on the fruit, where now that kedusha can be transferred onto the money. But here it has like a weaker level of kedusha in the first place, and therefore it's not strong enough to be able for that kedusha to be transferred onto something else. So it's not the tofel chomer min ha'ikar. On the contrary, the ikar has greater kedusha, and the tofel has lesser kedusha. So no contradiction to Ravina's principle that you shouldn't have tofel chomer min ha'ikar, which again, therefore, that would lead us to say that if by chatos, which is tofel, because we learn that it has to be in suffering, we learn that from the Ola, then we wouldn't say that should be stronger, and the Ola itself from which you're learning it from should be weaker, and it wouldn't be ma'akiv. No, in fact, it is ma'akiv. Okay, the Gemara says here's another possibility. We will see tofel chomer min ha'ikar. Married tamura. Consider the case of tamura, of an exchange for an animal of kodshin. When you make an animal hekdesh in the first place, when you want to designate it for a korban, if the animal has a permanent mum, then it doesn't get the kedusha of a korban. So the ilu ihi chayla, whereas tamura would, because the pasuk says that when lo yachlifanu, you're not allowed to exchange the animal, rab toiv or toiv ra, but if you do, then both of them become kodesh. So even if the second one is ra, it's a bam, it's a balmum, nevertheless it's the kedusha of the original one. Now you can't bring it as a korban. What'll happen is, depending on the type of korban, either it'll have to be left to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and use the money for that type of korban, or in some cases you leave it to die, like in the case of a chatos, whatever, you have the various example, you have the various details of what you do. But the point is, you see that the tmura, which is the tofel, which is the secondary thing, is stronger than the ikhir. Because you're saying that it's able to be foul even on a balmul. So again, the Gemara answer is no. Tmura mikarech chodson ta'asya. No, the reason for that is because the tmura, after all, let's not consider the tmura by itself. Where did the tmura get its power from? From chodson. The kodshin, the kodshin, the kodshin, whereas the kodshin themselves came from the power of kodshin. In other words, you're starting out, you're designating an animal, you want to change it from kodshin to kodshin, and therefore you need a strong level of kedusha, and therefore it can't be chal on a bal mil. But now when you already have kodshin, and you just want to take that and go on to, and then, and go, and have that go on to something else, then, then it's able to do that because you're starting out from a kedushin. So therefore, so that doesn't show. Tofel falming in the ikker, you're saying the reason why the tumura is stronger is because it comes from an ikker which is stronger, as opposed to the kedushin comes from an ikker which is weaker, namely falling. Okay, the Gemara says Hare Pesach. Fine, let's try another example. What about the Korban Pesach? Duhu ain't atone smicha. When you bring the Korban Pesach in itself, you don't do smicha on its head. There's the most korbanos. You have to do smicha, but there's a few that you don't. Pesach being one of them. You don't need smicha. Unesachim, or tinufas chazav ashoik. Nor do you have nesachim that come with the Korban Pesach. Nor do you have chazav ashoik if it's raised and given to the Korban. All those things that do not apply to a Pesach. The ilum most of the day. But if you have a leftover, for example, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, you have an animal that was supposed to be brought to the Pesach and then got lost and you found it afterwards. You have different other examples where you have a leftover animal for a Pesach, then it becomes a shlomim, as we've learned before, and it's treated like any other shlomim. Tone smicha on a sachem with tenuch as chazav ashoik. Then it requires smicha, it requires nesachem, it requires waving the chazav ashoik. So you see that there is a case where the tofel, the shlomim that comes from the Pesach, is stronger than the Pesach itself. And the answer is, that's exactly it. It's not a matter of tofel and ikker. Pesach, b'shari ma'aseh shana, automatically, the Pesach during the rest of the year becomes a shlomim, so it's not a leftover of the Pesach. It means, in other words, it turned into something else. So it's not tofel, shlomim, and ikker. It's rather that the ikker turned into something else. Tosfos points out there's another example as well with Ma'aser Behema, where a person makes a mistake in the counting of Ma'aser Behema, and you wind up with an animal that was supposed to be the 11th, and you mistakenly count it as the 10th, where there are cases where that one is brought as a shlomim, and again, also you have that it's treated more stringently than a bechor, in that it requires nesachim and smicha and all the rest of that, whereas the bechor does not. So there you have an example. So Tosfos says, again, the vort is, it's the same kind of thing, the same way as the Pesach automatically becomes a shlomim, the same way this 11th one automatically becomes a shlomim based on psukim, if not a matter of tofel and ikker. So you really don't have an example so far of tofel, shlomim, and ikker, and therefore, so we can correctly say, therefore, that when it comes to the chatas and the oila, given that the chatas is tofel, because we learn it from the oila, about that it has to be in the north, and we find by the chatas, as we learn from Sukkim, that shechting and then Kabbalah Saddam in the north are ma'akev, then we're not going to say by the Olo, which is where we learn them from, that it should be less stringent, and in fact it is equally stringent, and they both have to be done in the north, and if not, then they're possible. Gemara says, V'boiseima, another answer you could give, you know where we learn that by the Olo it's ma'akev, Omakro, because the Pasuk says, Ha Olo, because the Pasuk says you should shech the chatas, in the place of the oil. Now, to the said, but suffering. So that means v'mekoyma tehei. It means it has to have to be in its place. The oil has to be in this place, and that means that the place that was established for the oil always has to be its place. And if it's not there, then it's possible. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of the chatas and oila. Now, another kind of kodshim which has to be shechted and the blood received in the north is the osham. So now let's work out that osham the nolam the boitzof, and where do we know that an osham is shechted in the north? Dichtiv, because the pasuk has been koymash yishchatu as oila yishchatu as osham, in the place where the oila is shechted, the osham shall be shechted. And since, as we've established, the oila is in the north, and so is the osham. Okay, Ashtachon Shechita, that shows us the Shechita is in the north. But we haven't yet shown that it's La'akev, that will do next. But first, Kabbalah in the northern. Where do we know that there's a mitzvah to do the Kabbalah in the north by an Asham? And the answer is because the Pasuk continues, there's Dama Yisrael, the Pasuk continues that he should check the Asham and its blood he should sprinkle. So therefore we learn from that, when it says, Ve'es Dama, Kibbal Dama, Nami Bat Suffering, means that the receiving of the blood also has to be in the, north, because Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. So the Vav adds to what we had before, so therefore it means that the blood of the Asham should be sprinkled in the place where it was shechted, and now it doesn't mean in the actual place, because it's sprinkled, the korban is shechted by the north of the Mizbeach, it's sprinkled Shem Atonah Shein Arba, one of which is not on the north side at all. You have this northwest, and we have the northeast and southwestern corner is where you sprinkle it, so therefore the Shittim HaKobetis explains what the Gemara in effect is saying is that we call it, since it can't be referring to the Zuka, then therefore we use it for the Kabbalah and say that the Kabbalah, the Ze'es Domei, means that the Kabbalah has to be done in the same place as the Shechita. Well, the Gemara says, Mekabel Atma Minolan. What about the fact that the person himself has to be standing in the north? As we've learned before, that if the Shitta, the person doesn't have to be standing in the north. But the Kabbalah, he does. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, because it could have said Domoy, and instead it said V'es Domoy. It could have said Domoy Yizrik, and instead it says V'es Domoy, or V'domoy Yizrik, whatever. And instead it says V'es Domoy Yizrik, so that comes to include the person who is receiving the blood. Okay. The Gemara says, Ashbacham L'mitzvah. Fine, that tells us that it's a mitzvah to do these things in the north. La'akev menolon. How do we know that's ma'akev? And if they're not done in the north, then the korban is possible. And the answer is k'rachunuksi, because you have another pasuk that it talks about the oshem of the mitzvah. It says the shachat esakeves. It says you should shech the sheep in the place where the chatas and the ola is shechted, and therefore that's shana olah pasuk la'akev. There's your second time repeating it, which says therefore that's ma'akev. Tosfos points out, you have from there the Shvita. Where do you see the Kabbalah from there? Son Podshim explains that Tosfos would mean, fine, we don't have it explicitly in the Pasuk, but you could use the same Svara as we had done before, that once we find that there's no difference between Kabbalah and Mekabel, Vachatchila, the same thing with the Yevet, and therefore since we see by the Osham, that the Shkita has to be in the north, and it's ma'akev, then already we can apply that to the Kabbalah as well. So Tosfos may not be leaving it as a question. They're just saying that we don't have a posit for it, but we can learn it from Sivana. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Hi, lahochi u'dasa? You're telling me that those words where it says by the Oshem that sort of a shochat asakeves that he should shecht it in the place where the chatas and erlar are shechted? You're telling me the posit is coming for that purpose to tell us that it's ma'akev?" Don't we need this to teach us what it says in a braisa as follows? We have in the braisa of the Mishmal, the Shloshas of the Yud Gemamidus Shatoni Yashas Behem. One of them is Dover Shahi Bechal, something which was part of a general category. The Yotzim Lidah and Bedover Hafadosh, and now the Torah tells us something special about that korban. The Torah tells us a separate pasuk that tells us a unique din about that korban. Then you can't put it back into the general category. Unless the Torah puts it back in explicitly. So what would that mean? Ketzad. So the braisa. So when we say it in the morning, we just say the Yud Gemamidus, but we don't go into details of them. The braisa and Torah's Koyanim, from which this comes, goes on to give examples for all the Yud Gemamidus. So it gives the following example for this klal. So by the Oshem Metzorda, the Pesach is v'shochat v'zakeves, you should shech the sheep, v'mkoyma sheyishchat v'zachatas v'ata'ola, v'mkoyma kodesh, in the place where the chatas and the ola are shechted in the holy place, ki chachatas ha'oshem huvagomer, because the Oshem is just like the chatas. Now, she'ein tamabayim of the chatas ha'oshem. Now, the Torah did not need to say that the Oshem is like the chatas. Why does it have to mention that? So what does it mean? Because the Asham Metzorah is singled out from all the other Ashamas that it has a new concept with it. Where the blood of the korban is also applied to his right thumb and his right big toe and his right heel. It's actually listed in an out of order because he first puts it on the ear, then the thumb, then the toe. But whatever, the point is that you have the pasuk says by the Asham that the blood is placed in those on those places in the Metzorah. You would think maybe therefore the Oshem, so this is Yotzal Lidin B'Devah Chodesh, so they're telling us a new thing about this Oshem. So maybe it's completely not in the category of other Oshemas, and therefore that would mean that it shouldn't require the blood to be placed on them, to be sprinkled on the Mizbeah, or that Imurim to be burnt on the Mizbeah. That is what the Torah is telling us with the words Kachatas HaOshem Hu, that the Oshem is just like the Chatas. Therefore, we learn Ma Chatas Tzurim Matan Vamim Imurim Lagavim Mizbeah, just like the Chatas requires the sprinkling of blood and the burning of the Imurim. Afasham Mitzurah Tzurim Matan Vamim Imurim Lagavim Mizbeah. So does the Oshem. So does the Asham Mitzurah. So that being the case, we're using that pasuk for Shachatas Hakeves with Koymash Yishchatas Chatas Vesalim. We're using it to teach us that it's not. That other than this detail about sprinkling, about placing the blood on the Mitzvah's body parts, other than that, it's the same as a regular option. So then how are we also learning from that it means that suffering is ma'akiv when it comes to the Adam? Tosfos over here and then in some other places discusses, why don't we say the other way around? Maybe we should say that this Dover Chodesh is meant to learn from it to the other ones. So maybe we should say all the other ones also require something special. So one point that Tosfos makes here and in some other places is that when the new gig contradicts what we know about the curve and so forth. So here, for example, we're saying that normally the blood completely goes on the mizbeach. You all of a sudden you're telling me it goes on the mitzvah's ears, thumb, and toe. So maybe therefore, so that contradicts the usual rule that the blood completely goes on the mizbeach. Maybe therefore we should say that it's only that, and we're not going to learn from it to everywhere else, because the fact is everywhere else it does say the blood goes on the mizbeach, but we should also say there are two different types of atam. One where the blood goes on the ears, thumb, and toe, the mitzvah, and one where it goes on the mizbeach, everything else. But each one has its own unique feature that the other ones don't have. So how do we know that not? So therefore, that is why. So the Torah tells us, and then that tells us that it's the same as all other Hashemahs except for that detail. Okay, so again, we're using it for that. How do we have that? How are we able to use that to tell us that by the north is Ma'atniv? And the answer is, in Ken, Nichta Baha'i, Vela Nichta Baha'i. Well, then in that case, it could have said Sofen only by the Hashem Matzorah rather than generically by the Hashemahs. Because we also have the rule. On the other hand, Dover Shohei B'Klal, the Yotzim and Aklal Lamed, we have a different one of the Yudim Midas, that when you have something which is part of a Klal, and it says something by it, Loy Lamed Al-Atzma Yotzim, Lamed Al-Aklal Kula Yotzim, it tells us about the entire Klal. Well, very well, we would have applied both Midas in the Yud. We would have said the Yud, thumb and toe, which contradicts what we find by other Korbanas, that Tosfos says, then there we would say that's unique to it, and therefore we need to have a Sfarshan telling us otherwise. But then we could do a Binyan Av from this one. Once it says by this one, that it's by the Sofen, we would apply it to all the other ones, and we wouldn't need it to say by the regular Asham. So then, the fact that it says it by the regular Asham, and it also says it by the Asham Metzora, means Shana Olam Akosav La'akiv, and it means the Torah is repeating it, and therefore it's Ma'akiv. Okay. But the Gemara asks, Hamicha Is V'Allah. Now that works. Now let's consider that rule of Yotzal Lidin V'Davar HaKadosh. That when we say to have something that has a unique feature, then we say, and as Tosfos says, where it contradicts the other ones, then we would say that it would be completely out of the category of the regular one, unless the Torah explicitly tells us otherwise. So here by the Hashem Metzora, we have the special rule of ear, thumb, and toe. We wouldn't know, therefore, that the blood is otherwise sprinkled on the Mizbeach and the Emurim burnt on the Mizbeach, were it not for the Torah telling us Kachatas Kashan. So now, Honicha, this works out, Is Vidalon, Yotzal Lidin B'Davar HaKadosh, that if we hold that this rule of Yotzal Lidin B'Davar HaKadosh, Ihu Dele Gama Mikvala, we would say that the one that has a unique feature cannot learn from the others. Like in this case, we would say that the Hashem Metzora does not learn from the others, and therefore we would say once it says by ear, thumb, and toe, if the Torah hadn't told us otherwise, we wouldn't know the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach at all. So you would say it doesn't learn from the category that's otherwise part of. But you could learn the other way around. Anything that's not novel by this turban, we can learn, the rest of the klal can learn from it. Shapir, then we can say very well. So now, by the Hashem Metzora, let's say the Torah had not told us that otherwise it's like an Aspen. We would say, when it comes to the blood, we would say it's something unique. The blood is applied to the Metzora's body parts, and that's it. We wouldn't know that it goes on a Mizbeach. Torah didn't tell us that it does. But we would say that nevertheless, it still is part of the general category of Hashemahs. And therefore, that's good enough that now we can have something that says by it, which doesn't contradict what we find by other Hashemahs. And we would say, therefore, that it applies to them as well. So it says something by it, which is Ma'akiv. And we would learn from it, after all, it doesn't contradict. We said before, the Ashram is trapped in the north. We're just trying to figure out how we know it's Ma'akiv. So if we say that's how this rule of Yotzal Lidin B'Davar HaKadosh works, then fine. That Yotzal Lidin B'Davar HaKadosh means that you can't learn from the others to it, unless the Torah says so explicitly, but you can learn from it to the others. Well, then the Torah could have said Sofen by you, and we would have learned by all the other ones. But if we hold that, no, when you have Yotzal Lidin B'Davar HaKadosh, it means it's completely separated from the other ones. You can't learn in either direction from it. So then, I would roof it. Well, then you would need, it needs to say Sofen right over here. It needs to say Sofen by the Oshim in general, and it needs to say it by the Hashem Metzora, because otherwise you would think it doesn't apply to one or the other of them. And the answer is, the fact is, Kivin da Hadre Ahadre. Since, after all, it's not disjoint after all, the Torah does put it back in the Tzal by saying, Kachatas Ta'oshim Ulakoyim. That means it's also included in the rule of Tzofen. Well, then once so now we don't need, so now it doesn't seem need to say tzofen by it. So why would it say tzofen? Why would it say that it has to be shechted in the place where the chatas is shechted, namely the tzofen, must be to tell us it's ma'akim. But still, the Gemara is bothered by. Amalei mazutra beidir amori l'ravina. Ema ki yahadre krela gabi matan damen ve'emurim d'boi kohuna. Still, you could argue maybe as far as the sprinkling of the blood and the bruning of the emurim, which require a kohen, then you could say, after all, the expression in the pasuk is kachatas pa'ofen hu l'kohen. So maybe it means that only as far as things that require a kohen, is it back in the same category. But when it comes to the shchita, which does not require a kohen, because we've been learning throughout the Masechta, shchita is ksheira bazar, you could argue, maybe it doesn't require tzofen. Maybe, in other words, so fine. You would say the shachatas akeves means that there's a mitzvah to shech the Hashem Metzora in the north, but not that it's ma'akiv. And then we also, and we b'chal wouldn't have a source to say that that it's ever ma'akiv by an Hashem, because then what we would say is we have one pasuk by Hashemus in general that they're supposed to be shechted in the north. That would tell us there's a mitzvah. Then you have a separate thing by the Hashem Metzora where it also says it should be shechted with the Oler. But unlike all this time where we were saying that means it's repeating it, and therefore it's ma'akiv. Now maybe we would say that no, it means that anything that requires a koyin, then that Osham is like a regular one, but anything that does not require a koyin does not. So therefore, so now it needs to say separately, so we wouldn't know that the regular dinim, so we wouldn't know that the dinim of shchita of an Osham applied to it because the shchita of an Asham Metzora, and therefore that would mean each one of them, it says suffering separately, and it means by each one of them it's l'mitzvah and not l'akel. How do we know they're not? So Ravina answers, in pain, if that were the case, if it was only put back as far as things that a kohen need, name a chruk is the chatas. And the Torah could have just said, it is like the chatas. My chatas ha osham. What does it mean? Like the chatas is the osham. Means kishara shamas yeh. Means it has to be like all the other, means it has to be like all the other ashamas. So therefore, the result is that even an asham mitzorah, is that even the Hashem Mitzvah is in the same category as all the other Hashemahs as far as everything else except for the fact that the blood is placed on the Mitzvah's body. But other than that, it is in fact the words of Shachar Shakeves are in fact extra because Kachatas Ha'osham, the extra word of Ha'osham, tells us that all Hashemahs are in this category. And therefore, it means that all Hashemahs have this in common. And then the Shachatas Keves is available, like we said before, to say that Shana all of our Kosov active, that the Torah is repeating it in order to tell us it's not. Okay. Now, we said, but now let's go back to that Pasuk by the Hashem Mitzvah. The pasuk says, fine. So we understand now why the Torah needs to say that kachatas ha'osham hu l'koyim, that the chatas is like the osham, that they both go to the koyim. We learn from that this osham is just like every other osham, with the exception of the special application of the blood. But now, the first half of the pasuk says that he should shech the shachatas of kevis. It says he should shech the sheep, the koyim asher yishchat as a chatas v'as ha'olam, in the place where he shech the chatas and the olam. So why does that dimension go? Why does that have to say where the chatas and the oila is shechted? Why do we need to have a hechik with the chatas as well as with the oila? Just say, mukayma sheyishchat as a chatas, or mukayma sheyishchat as a oila, why mention both? The answer is, Amar Ravina, you know why we need that? Because if we only had the hekesh with the chatas and not with the oila, habamina, you would have said like this, chatas, lehechan lomda, where is the chatas itself, where do we learn that it requires suffer in the oila? We said by a hekesh from oila, because the pasuk says, v'mkoymesh, if you shachat the oila, if you shachat the chatas, where the oila is shechted, the chatas is shechted. Now, the problem is, dovra, lomad behekesh, chozer malamad behekesh. We would mistakenly think that when it comes to kodshim, if we learned one thing from another by a hekesh, we could learn from it to something else with a hekesh. And if not so, as we're going to start discussing now, a sugya on the subject, that when it comes to kodshim, we cannot do that. We cannot do a chain of occasion like that. You can do one hekesh to another, but you cannot do a hekesh from that to something else. So precisely for that reason, that is it. So sorry, I skipped. Um, so uh, So because in fact by kodshim you cannot learn from one thing to another with a hekesh and then from that to something else with a hekesh. Because of that, the Torah mentions therefore the hekesh of the atzam of the asham mitzvah to the oila where it explicitly says that it has to be in suffering. So in other words, the flow of it is like this: the oila says it has to be in the suffering. Chatas we learn from oila by a hekesh. We can't now therefore learn osham from chatas by a hekesh. Therefore we need osham is directly learned from oila. So now we have the oila. We're learning two different things from a hekesh. One is a hekesh to a chatas. One is a hekesh to an oila. Good. One is a hekesh to a chatas. One is a hekesh to an osham. Good. That we can do. But we couldn't have learned osham from chatas, which in turn is learned from oila, because that would be lamed min alamed. That would be learning from a hekesh and then learning from that with another hekesh. And we can't do that. So that's why the Torah has to phrase it that way. Omale mazutra vedra mori laravina, but mazutra vedra mori astravina, then the mikshe la olavale mikshe la chatas. If that's the case, then let it only say the ola and not the chatas. So fine, that explains why it needs to compare it to the ola, but why does it need to compare it to the chatas as well? And Ravina answers, Havamina, if that were the case, we would have thought, Dovra Alamad Behekesh, Chozer Malamad Behekesh, because you still would think that it is possible to do a two hekesh kind of thing like that, one hekesh and then another hekesh. But if he came and nixia usu makatas, because all you'd say is, you know why? If you'd say, so why doesn't the Torah make a hekesh between the osham and the katas, you would just say, Nichada le makesh le ikr, le nakesh le the tofel. Because you would say, listen, if you have a choice, you might as well learn from the ikr, from the ola, rather than from the tofel, the katas, which itself is learned from the ola. You wouldn't know that you're not allowed to learn from the chatas. Therefore, la'hafel actually la'chatas. That is why it gives a hekesh to la'chatas. The actually la'ola, and then it continues with the ola. L'meima to teach us this rule. Dava alamad behekesh shein chozom alamad behekesh. That when you learn one thing from another with a hekesh, you cannot learn from it to something else with a hekesh. In other words, the flow of the pasuk would be like this: the shachat as a kedus, you should shech the asham mitzvah. Then koyma sheyishchat as a chatas in the place where it shechts the chatas, but wait, we can't learn from the chatas. The esa oila, don't worry, we're actually learning from the oila. But if it only said oila, you wouldn't know that. You would say, okay, you know, obviously it makes more sense to learn from the oila, but you wouldn't know that you can't learn from the chatas. Therefore, it's like the Torah says chatas, and then continues the esa oila to tell you, wait, when I said chatas, don't think you can learn from me. Okay, so that's one way of understanding where we learn. So when we say this rule of dava alamed behekesh, ein chozer alamed behekesh, that when you learn B from A with a hekesh, you can't learn C from B with it, like we're saying over here. You can't learn from Ola to Chatas and then from Chatas to Osham. So this is one way of learning how we know that rule is from here. Rava says I have a different way that I can derive that rule. Mehocha, we learn it from his followers. The Pasuk says about the Pasuk says about the Kayakoin Mashiach. The Pasuk lists out all the emurim that have to be offered on the Mizbeach, and then it says, as is taken off from an ox that's brought as a shlomim. Now, the Maihirsa, now what does the Pasuk need to tell us? A hekesh with shlomim. Either Yaseres HaKavod is Shteyachloyos, doesn't mean that you have to take the Yaseres HaKavod, which actually translates to diaphragm, and then there's different other translations of what exactly it means, some part of the liver or some part attached to the liver anyway, or shteyachloyos, and the two kidneys of the animals have to be taken off the parakoyin mashiach and burnt on the mizbeach, just like they would have been from a shlamim. You don't need the gufik, it says right there by the parakoyin mashiach, it says them explicitly. So what is the pasuk adding by saying, after it lists all of them, kashi yuram misho zevach shlamim, that as is taken off from an ox that's brought as shlamim. Omer Papa, the reason is Mishum de Boy Agmuri, Yeseres HaKavod Shtei Klois, Mipar Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, L'Siri Averes HaKavod. You're right, it's not needed so much for the Parakoyin Mashiach itself, because it says right there, the parts. Rather, it's because ultimately we're going to need to learn that those same dinim about the Yeseres HaKavod and Shtei Akloyas have to be taken off the Korban. We're going to need to learn from the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibur to the Siri Averes HaKavod. We're going to need a Hekrish yes. We're going to need a hekesh to tell us that by the power of Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, you have to bring those parts, and by the Seer Rabbis and Chalmers, you also have to bring those parts, and after all, the Gufei Loik Sid, now, it doesn't say that by the power of Helam Dover Shal Tzibur itself. We learn it only when power of Mashiach Hu Degomar. You learn it only from the power of Poyin Mashiach. That the power of Poyin Mashiach, it says that you bring, so the flow would be like this. When it comes, we have the power Koyin Mashiach, and there it lists out all of the Emurim, and then we have a Hekesh from that to, we have a hekesh from that to the Par Helam Dover. As we said in the previous perek, the Gemara had said, when the Pasuk said, by the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, it says, but also Lachor, Asha also Lafarahatas, he should do to the Par, as he had done to the Parahatas. From that we learn that the Par Kohen Gadol and the Par, and the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibur are similar in that regard. So that's a hekesh. And then in turn, we want to learn from that to the Seir Yavetis Kefalim. And that doesn't work. Lahochi itzu kasha yuram. That is why the Torah has to. That is so the gufei loyksi. It doesn't say about the par helam davar itself. When we par koin mashiachu digamar, ultimately by the par helam davar shal tzibur, we learn it from the par koin mashiach. That's a hekish. And therefore, now if we want to learn from the par helam davar shal tzibur to the seiria, but it's the following, that wouldn't work. Lahochi itzu kasha yuram. Therefore, the pasuk says by the par koin mashiach. That as it's taken off from the shlomim, which therefore we learn that those words in the pasuk are actually referring not to the par kohen gadol, those are being taken out of context and refer to the par helam davar shel tzibur. So therefore, so now the nehevi commanding the kosev begufei. Now it's considered as though those words kasher yuram is shozevach shlomim are written by the par helam davar shel tzibur. Now we can do a hekesh from that to the seir avos shlomim. Well, I never dover alam behekesh chozer alam behekesh, and that way we avoid this issue of trying to do one hekesh on top of another. So the Rava says that's another way we can learn that when it comes to kodshim, you cannot do one hekesh from another. Because in other words, otherwise the Torah didn't have to write this pasuk, and you would have said, fine, we'll learn from the par helam dover shel tzibur from the par koin mashiach to the par helam dover shel tzibur, and in turn we'll learn from that to the seir avodas kefalim. But since because we can't do that, therefore the Torah writes this word, this pasuk kasher yuram, the shozevach hashlamim, which we consider as though that was written by the par helam dover shel tzibur, and that way the Torah is telling you there's only one hekesh, not two. Why? Because two hekeshim you wouldn't be allowed to do. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Papa the Rava, the Lichtei the Gufei v'Lei Nafkish." Well, in that case, why does the Torah write it by the Kayo Koyin Mashiach, and we have to take it out of context and then say as if it was written over there? Why not just say it right by the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, rather than if the Torah has to take the trouble to write this Pasuk Kasher Yuram, then it should just say right by the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. And again, Rava answers, who's possibly Gufay Blay Akish? Because if it said it by the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and did not have that Hekish, Avamini, you would still think Dabar Alamar Behekish, Chozer Alamar Behekish. Sure, you could use a double Hekish. The Chitema Nakshiak Pushi, because you would say, fine, it's still better to learn from the Par Koyim Mashiach. You could say, Nicholai de Kastra Begufay. You could say that it's still better to write it over there, Mida Akishlak Pushi, rather than using a Hekish. So in other words, if it's said it by the Par Koyin Mashiach, you wouldn't know that there is this rule of not being able to do a hekesh from a hekesh. You would say, okay, it makes more sense to write all the dinim of the power of the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur by it itself. Does that mean you couldn't have done it by a hekesh and then another hekesh? No. But now, Lahochi Kasei Ba'akshei, that is why it writes it by the Par Koyin Mashiach. And also gives a hekesh between the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and the Par Koyin Mashiach, the Memra, and that tells you Dover Alamah Behekesh and Chozer Alamah Behekesh. You cannot do a hekesh based on another hekesh, and therefore the Torah specifically has to write the words Kasher Yuram and that pasuk to tell us to forestall the idea that otherwise you might have thought that a hekesh from another hekesh is a perfectly valid thing to do. Tosfos points out, the Gemara had said in the previous perek, that with Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur in general, the Torah leaves out a number of the details because we said over there, it's like the whole country, so to speak, rebelled against Hashem by doing a serious Aveda. So therefore, the Torah wants to mean Mamai, the Torah wants to leave out as much as possible the Sirchon of the Jewish people, what they did wrong. So you could say, that's why it didn't say the positive thing. Tosfos says, fine, but nevertheless, that wouldn't be a reason to go, that wouldn't be a reason to put the Pasuk elsewhere and have to use a hekesh. But the very fact that we use this pasuk to teach a dover alam behekesh and a chozer alam behekesh shows us also chibos and show Yisrael, shows us that Hashem considers the Jewish people precious and would rather not talk with barichos about what they did wrong, and would rather, if we're going to learn something from here, let's learn from here the rule of not doing a double hekesh. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to begin a discussion about all of this. The Gemara is going to be discussing four different midas chaturin adreshes behen, and see when it comes to kodshim whether you can have which combinations of them are and aren't allowed. The four are hekesh of zera shava kavachoyim asimen, That's the simon for them. It's really supposed to be a binyan av as well. The Gemara is going to go through. You have these four midas, and now the Gemara is going to go through 16 possibilities that extend over the next couple of lots. Which one of them? Because you have to have each one can be combined with another one. A hekesh on top of a hekesh, a hekesh on top of a gzeira shava, a hekesh on top of a kavah chomer, a hekesh on top of a binyan av, and the same thing with each of the other ones, and see which of them are allowed by kodesh shimon and which are not. So the Gemara still says. The fact that you can't learn one thing from a hekesh by another and then learn a third thing from a second one by a hekesh, that we know, imidir Rava, imidir Ravina, we know it from Rava's and Ravina's respective places. Ravina's point about what it says by the Asham Mitzorah, comparing it to an Osham and comparing it to a Fatas and an Ola, or Rava's point about the power Helam Gavashot Sivir, comparing it both to the power Kohen Gadol and to the Ashlod.
Triple hekesh.
No, so therefore, so the point is, that's the point. We're not making a triple hekesh. We're saying that therefore, one of, in each case, we have a faucet that's telling us, don't do a double hekesh, you can only do a single hekesh. Fine. If you learned din B from A, by a hekesh, are you able to learn from that, or are you able to learn from B to C with a zera shavu? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. Rav Nosson ben Abtum Osimer, Minayim Psicha B'Begodim Shei Tahara. How do we know? We know if a person is completely covered with Saras, then they're Tahar. Not when they first come with Saras, but if they had Saras on a part of their body, and then it spread to the rest of their body, then they're Tahar. So how do we know the same thing is true of clothing? If clothing has Saras on its entire surface, then it's Tahar. So the answer is Nema Karachas for Gabachas for Begodim, but Nema Karachas for Gabachas for Adam. Both by clothing and by a person, the Torah uses the word Karachas and Gabachas. By a person, Karachas means when the back of his head is bald, and Gabachas means when the front of his head is bald. At a fourth grade Rebbe, when we were learning this in class, he said a good way to remember it is Gabachas, or Gimel, is near the front of the Aleph Beis, and the Kuf is near the back. So that helps you remember Gabachas is in the front, Karachas in the back. Anyway, then it uses the word Karachas and Gabachas by clothing. Now, in the simple meaning, Rashi says it means the same thing. It means the front, as in when the clothing is new, or the back when it's old. And it means also like if it's tarach on clothing, it has to also be on the fluff of it, etc. But the fact is, it uses the same words, malahalam korach b'kulei tara, kan korach b'kulei tara. So it means just like a person, as the Torah tells him, if it's just tarach completely covers him, then he's tahor. The same way clothing. Now, v'chosam
minavon.
So that's v'zera shavah. But now, v'chosam minavon. In turn, how do we know that if he's completely covered with saras, he's tahor? After all, how do we know by karachas and gabach? When you have to remember, there's different kinds of saras in a person. There's saras on regular skin, which the Torah first talks about. Then you have the Torah talks about the special cases, michva and shin and all of that. Then the Torah starts talking about a nesek. Which a nesek is on the scalp or on the beard, where there it has different dinim. There you have it. You need say, you need yellow hair for it to be tomei, and so on and so forth. You have all the dinim that it says over there. Now, how do we know? Now, if a person's whole body is covered with saras, fine. The Torah spells out that then he's tahor. How do we know if a person has karachas or gabachas and his back or the front of his hair became bald, and then saras developed on that, a nesek developed on that, and spread to the entire area? How do we know he's tahor? So we only know that because the Tidnei Rosh Avad Raglov, for the Pasuk says earlier, if the Saras spreads from his head to his feet, the Itkash Rosh Avad Raglov, which makes a hekesh between the head and the foot. Mala Halam Kulei Hofach Lovon, Horeth Bekulei Tahor. So just like with the Saras of the body, if it covers his entire body, head to toe, then he's Tahor. Afkan, the same way here, within the Karachas of the Gamachas, Horeth Bekulei Tahor. If it all turns white and it spreads throughout the whole thing, then it's tahor. So therefore you see that there you have a hekesh. You're learning a hekesh from the body to the scalp. And then in turn you're learning a zeta shava from that to clothing. So you see that you can do a hekesh and then make a zeta shava based on the hekesh. However, Amar Rav Yechon and Rav Yechon says that's not a proof. V'chol ha-tera kulo v'made in lomen v'lomen. Sure, in the rest of the Torah you can learn one thing from another. You can do as many Zeta Shavas or Kalachoymers or Hekeshim or whatever as you want. It's not a problem. Chutz min HaKodshim. She'ein gan in lomen milomen. By Kodshim, you cannot. Kodshim, uniquely, you have to have, you can only, depending on the 16 things that Moses is going to go through, some of them you cannot learn one thing from another and then learn a third thing from it. Lamed mi lamed. You can't learn something. You can't learn something from something that itself was already learned from something else. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "The imkain lo yomatzafonu ba'asham the case zera shavat kodesh kodesh mechatoris." After all, here we were discussing the previous piece of Gemara had been discussing how we know an asham has to be shechted and the kabbalas of dam has to be in the north. But bechlal, so the Gemara had talked about what it says it by the asham generally and it says it by the asham sort of specifically and why it needed to do that. But Rabbi Yochanan says, "Listen, it didn't have to say at all softened by asham the case of zera shavat kodesh." We would have learned it from Gzeira Shava that it says the Torah calls both Chatas and Adshim. It uses the word Kodesh Kodesh and Hu. My lab. So why would that be? So why not lav lamem and davar lamem behekesh ein fozer malam and Gzeira Shava? So evidently that must be because when it comes to Kodeshim, you learned one thing from another. With a hekesh, you cannot then go learn from it with Gzeira Shava. So the Chatas itself, where do we know that it has to be in the Sofen, is from a hekesh with the Oila. Therefore, we cannot now do Gzeira Shava from it to learn to the Osh. So therefore that shows that, so there's your answer. When you learn B from A with a hekesh, you cannot learn C from B with a Gzeira Shavah. And they're so fine. By Tzadas you could, but by Kodeshim you can. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. The Dumashim de'ikul mishrach malachapas shachayin of aferis achayi v'krusis. After all, you could say, you know why you don't make that you don't want? You know why you don't make that Gzeira Shavah is because it's not mufne mishneik zodin. It's not, the words Kodesh, Kodesh, and Hu are not extra by both the Chatas and the Oshem. One of them we need to say, and therefore, so you can say that you can, and once you have, if it's not Mufna Mishneh Tzodin, you can slug it up. Balachatas, Shekhen, Machaperis, Achai, Vekrisis. A Chatas, after all, is Machaper for people who are high of Horus, whereas an Oshem is not, and an Oila is not. So therefore, so you could say maybe that's why you can't do the Zeta Shava, and that's why the Torah needs to tell you it in a different way. The answer is Kodshim, Yisedik Sivi. The answer is both by the Chatas and by the Osham, there's extra times where it says Kodesh Kodashim in Parashas Torah when it repeats the madness, when it tells about the madness Tohuna, it says both by the Chatas and the Osham that the Kodesh Kodashim Hu, so it says Kodesh Kodashim Lecha, so therefore from that, so then we have extra, so now it is Mufna Mishneh Tzadin, and we have a Zeta Shavah, it's Mufna Mishneh Tzadin, that the words are extra on both sides, we cannot slug it up, and if nevertheless we don't use that Zeta Shavah, it can only be because that Kodashim, if you have a Hekesh, you can't then use that Hekesh as a basis for Zeta Shavah. So there's your answer, so that is why Brother Osham would have to spell out and say Tzadin, but that tells us, there's your answer for the first of the 16, when it comes to, you learned Din B from Din A with a hekesh, you cannot now learn C from B with a Zeta Shava by Kodshim Unif. And now, over the next half and a half, the Gemara is going to go through the other 15 possibilities and see which ones work and which one don't. Sure.